Let us bow our hearts before the Lord and ask Him to bless both the reading and the preaching of His Word to us. Let us pray. Indeed, O Lord, may our eyes continually be set upon You. May we look to You as light in the midst even of our own darkness and the darkness all around us. We pray, O Lord, that You would truly reveal, make Yourself known to us again this morning. May You speak to us, O Lord. May we not take for granted that just because we are here and we hear words from the pulpit, that somehow we are worshiping You. Instead, O Lord, help us to worship You by knowing that Your Spirit is at work here and speaking to us. So grant us open hearts and free minds that are not distracted by all kinds of thoughts. And speak to us, speak to each of us, young and old. May the younger children also hear You speaking to them. And may they come to an understanding that will grow and grow as they go on in their life. So, Lord, we pray that You would graciously use Your servant as Your mouthpiece. Bless the reading and the preaching of Your word to us for Your honor and Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read from John chapter 1 again, and then we'll also read a few verses from Matthew 6. You want to turn to both of those right away. Our text in John 1 is verse 4, as you see in the bulletin. We'll read the first 13 verses there. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, in other words, not through family, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's also turn over back in our New Testaments to Matthew 6. We'll just read 19 through 24 there. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Continuing on in the reading of God's Word. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. May the Lord bless His word to us as we have heard it read and also now hear it proclaimed in a sermon. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters, the glory of Jesus is introduced for the rest of this Gospel of John by words that are word life, light, glory, grace, and truth. Last Sunday in the sermon, we heard about Jesus as that first word, Word. And the next two words to describe the glory of Jesus are life and light, which we hear about this morning. And here too, may we not only learn some facts about life and light, but may the glory of Jesus as light and life work in us and change us every day. Our theme is, the glory of Jesus is that He is life and light. Pretty simple. Our text says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our first point is, we see the truth of creation and the fall into sin and the need of Jesus as life and light. Well, when it says, in Him was life, that was is not like it sounds in English. Like a past tense. It was, but, you know, now it's not anymore. This was has the very same meaning. I don't know if you remember this from last Sunday. Very same meaning and idea as in verse 1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word. As we saw then, that means it already was. It always was. It is an eternal reality. From all eternity past to all eternity future. The Word was. He was. Right? And so also now, in Him was life. That means from all eternity in the past, throughout all time and history, and to all eternity in the future. So, life existed before God created life on this earth. Life had no beginning. Because life existed in God. And He is eternal. And by the way, that's why we see it often in the Old Testament. When God swears an oath by Himself, He says, as I live. As I live. I have always lived. So He can swear by Himself. We can't. We may not. And that's why the Bible says, if you swear an oath, you swear it in God's name only. God is life. And God is the origin, the source of all other life. I feel almost, brothers and sisters, like I can't wait long enough. So that really sinks into us. God is life, and He's the origin of all other life. And life was there before time. Life was there in God. Okay, but what is this life? Is it every kind of life? Is this referring to physical life? Is this referring to spiritual life? Does it refer to the life of angels, to the life of birds and reptiles, and on and on? What is this life? Well, as we read on, we right away are told what John by the Holy Spirit means. He says, the life was the light of men. Now, as you read those words, life and light. We need to see how John by the Holy Spirit keeps relating to Genesis and creation. Just like this gospel begins, like Genesis, in saying, in the beginning, we saw that last sermon, so also it continues to reflect back on creation. And you see, that's because it's going to also speak of recreation in Jesus Christ. So the two are related. So at creation, we saw the Word was, and that Word that was spoke and said, let there be light. And I hope we all, young and old, even little Michael knows how to finish that. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Right? And the very same is true of life. Genesis 1:21 says God created every living thing that moves. And also especially about man in Genesis 2 verse 7. We read, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And says something very important. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. You see, God gave life to all, to every living thing. The living creature, according to its kind. And it says, God saw that it was good. But then God said, let us make man. So, as we saw even in the catechism class on Wednesday, that's referring to the Trinity, the us there is. And we see that then God made man different from all other living creatures. He's different because God breathed into man the breath of life. Get it? So man became a living being. And he is different. He is unique from all other living things. Because, you know, those other animals, they all breathe in and out. But only with man did God breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. The Spirit, brothers and sisters. Right? And that's what makes man different from all other living things. Well, then also about life, we read in Genesis how God created the tree of life. And he created the tree of life for man. God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, except for the one. And the one that we weren't supposed to eat from wasn't the tree of life, it was from the knowledge of good and evil, right? But then when man sinned, we read about this at the end of Genesis 3. God put man out of the garden so that he would not, it says, take of the tree of life. So this is a bit of an aside from our text, but it is about life. It seems up to that point that man had not yet taken of this tree. Because God says, lest he take also of the tree of life. In other words, it's not so that he would no longer take, or he would take no more, but it says that he would take also. In other words, along with taking of the other trees, he would also take of that tree. So in Genesis 3:24, it says, God set a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life. It's so clear, isn't it? Life was kept from man in his sin. So though he is living physically, he is now dead spiritually. And we see this kind of thing in John 1. We see a kind of what we would call a shift from the physical to the spiritual. In verse 3, look at it. It says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. We looked briefly at that last Sunday, right? That's the physical truth of life. All life was from God. There is no existence of life without Him. No existence of anything without God having made it. But then the next verse, our text, verse 4, it's about the spiritual truth of life. In Him was life, which was the light of men. Right? And in that little phrase, brothers and sisters, there is already an indication of the fall of man into the darkness of sin. That is, man is not in the light. Right? That's why they need Jesus Christ as their light. Man in sin lost it. Well, except for that small remnant of his conscience. What we saw earlier in the WCF as the light of nature. We'll see more about that in a little while. So apart from that small remnant, man lost the light. So you see, that light which was in Him, in Christ, in Jesus, who was life, verse 5 then gives a little more of that spiritual meaning or the spiritual reality when it says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's obviously speaking about man in darkness, the darkness of sin and death. And by the way, this is rather important. When it says, did not comprehend it, that means did not obtain it, did not make it their own. Okay, some English translations have the idea here of did not overcome it, did not extinguish it. And it just changes it completely. But that's not the meaning here. It is to obtain or to understand this light. In fact, the NIV has a good translation. It says, has not understood it. So, the point is, man in darkness does not see or comprehend the light. And just to reflect on that, in Romans 1, the Holy Spirit makes this so very clear. Where it says, like in verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were, you know it, darkened, right? Man is in darkness. He has no light. So, as we heard in the assurance from Psalm 107, how it relates no light or darkness to no life and death. Right? It's very remarkable. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Psalm 107. Brothers and sisters, we need to see how terrible this darkness is. It's to be in death. It's to be bound in affliction and irons, Psalm 107. It is to be so helpless and so hopeless. It says, God brought down their heart with labor and they fell down and there was none to help. I pray we all see it. We will never understand the glory of Jesus as light and life unless we see how awful, how terrible, how hopeless, how helpless man is in darkness and death. Well, do you see this about yourself? That apart from faith in Jesus, you, each of you, you are in darkness and you are in death. And I am too. The need for light, the need for life in Jesus is so profound. It's so graphically shown, you know, in John 8. That account where, it's just an example, but where a woman is caught in adultery. and the church leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to stone her according to Old Testament law. And Jesus, he knew what was in her heart. And he said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." But that's not all the story. Right after Jesus said, "Go and sin no more," this is what Jesus said. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You see, when he said to this woman, "Go and sin no more," that's to have the light of life. To have the light of the world, which saves us from death. And for that woman, it was to be stoned to death as a picture of eternal hell. And that's how we ought to see the death penalty from the Old Testament and all the laws of the Old Testament. It is given to us to picture eternal hell. When you do not obey God's law, you invite eternal death, which is hell. So you see the play here with between light and life, and darkness and death. To go and live in sin is to walk in darkness, and to walk in death, waiting for eternal death. And to go and sin no more is to have the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to save us from that darkness and death. So let's look at our second point. The truth of the light shining and man's response to that light. Now, we've seen how light and life are terms that relate to the heart of man, right? To his spirit inside him. Well, now in John, this light, it's obviously referring to, it's embodied in a person who was, again, always was, always is, always will be, light and life. And the Holy Spirit through John so vividly proclaims that in verses 6 and following as we read. Because it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." So John the Baptist, notice, was sent from God, and it was to bear testimony of the light that is life, right? And then it goes on and it says, very vividly, that John was not that light. He's not the original, perfect, true light. See, it's as if to make us think. The brightness of that light, which is Jesus, that brightness, it makes all other light grow dim. That's the point. So you see, the glory of Jesus is that he is the true light. Which in verse 9 says, gives light to every man. In other words, everyone coming into the world will only have light in Jesus. And apart from that, he is in darkness and death. And you see how then how verse 10, it declares something that's like an alarming contrast to verse 9. If you just look at that, look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. Just stop and think about this. He who made the world, he was in the world as light, to give light to every man. And we have to understand, this was true from creation. Man was made to be in the light. But he willfully put himself in darkness. And that's why the world did not know him. Even though, you know, the way this is written, it's like saying, well, they should have, since he made them. Obviously, world here doesn't refer to, you know, the earth, the globe, the creation as such, but it refers to man as he lives in this world, on this creation. So again, verse 5, it says, he is the light that shines in the darkness. The light that shines, brothers and sisters. That's a present, ongoing reality. You know, that's what light does. Light shines, right? If light does not shine, it is not light. And later on, we'll reflect on that and what Jesus said in Matthew 6, what we read earlier. But for now, just think about this. An ongoing reality. The light that shines in the darkness. So it's not as if, you know, he only shines if we open our hearts to it. Or as if the light will shine, you know, if we let him in. No, he shines. That's what it says. Here is light shining in darkness all the time. All the time. The light was shining right after man sinned. In Genesis 3:15, in the promise of the seed of the woman, that was the light shining. And that light shone in all the Old Testament. So that in so many ways, it showed the light, which was Jesus Christ. That's what the Old Testament was written for. Right? The light shines in all creation. Like we saw earlier from the WCF, the light of nature. And I commented in already. It is about what God, through Jesus Christ, who is the light, what he put in creation. What he put in everything he made. And Romans 1 talks about it. It is the truth that he exists and that he is powerful. And remember, it says, so they are without excuse. So that light shining means no one has an excuse to not be in the light. Right? And of course, especially he shines in the New Testament when he came into the world. And then it says even more specifically, he came to his own. You know, we should picture that as being like a circle within a bigger circle. He came into the world, he came to his own. His own is those who had the covenants and the promises. They had the light of the Old Testament, if you will. And God gave them that light so that they would be his light to the world. That bigger circle. But yeah, they did not see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. So they were in darkness. It was like they were walking around with a veil over their eyes. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit says in 1 Corinthians 3. In verse 14 it says, their minds were blinded. That's darkness, right? Their minds are blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:14. So all of this to show you that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. Always shines in the darkness. But then John bears witness in verses 10 to 13, that there are two responses to that light. Again, the light which is Jesus and is shining. One response is, did not receive him. The other response is, as many as received him. Well, briefly, first of all, did not receive him. Look at our scripture reading. It's the same in verse 5. The darkness, which is the world in sin, did not comprehend it, did not obtain it. In verse 10, the world did not know him, although, as we saw, it or man should have known him because he made them. Verse 11, his own did not receive him. They even more should have received him. The light. The point of this is, brothers and sisters, these expressions show the hatred of the light. That they are hostile to the light, to Jesus. And now, I ask you, think about it. Is it not still the same today? Do we not see it all around us? I don't know how many of you saw this ad. I'm not even sure if what it was for, but it was an ad for Disney. And for the season, I don't think they even named the term Christmas, but it was obviously for what they're going to be doing at Christmas in December. And they showed that they have this and that thing. And then at the end, it ends with these big letters. Joy through the world. Did you hear that? Joy through the world. Not joy to the world. No. Joy through the world. We'll make our own joy. Joy through the world. That's Disney. That's a hatred of the light that comes to the world. Think about that. Or maybe you saw the ad. I don't even know if it's a TV series or a movie. God friended me. Oh, I pray you see what kind of a violation, sacrilege that is of God. Does God tell us that He may friend us in Facebook? Or does God tell us in His holy word, He will only friend us in the light, Jesus Christ? We have to see, brothers and sisters, these kinds of things show the absolute, well, I like to use this word antithesis, because it speaks more than just a contrast. But there is this violent contrast opposition between these two. Antithesis. Between the kingdom of God, light, and the kingdom of man, world, darkness. And it's one or the other, brothers and sisters. We read it in Matthew 6. You can't serve two masters. You can't be in both of these kingdoms and kind of enjoy one. And well, this now I'll have the other. And that's how many people use Sundays, you know. On Sundays, I'll be in the kingdom of God. I'll go to the light. I'll go to church. Well, isn't that nice? But the rest of the time, I'll work for myself. And it's walking in darkness. You can't serve two masters. Jesus made it very clear. You will love the one and you will hate the other. And that's why John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. John 3:19. Here's the condemnation. Light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well, we can go on and on. Brothers and sisters, it's bad news upon bad news. But then also there is good news upon good news. Because it also says, as many as received Him. So as we read, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And right away, later on, John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In the whole Gospel of John, we keep reading this term life. And sometimes it's exchanged for eternal life or everlasting life. And as we go through John, God willing, let's keep our eyes and our ears open to this thing of life. But right now, the question to you is, and the question to me is, do you believe? Do you believe? That question is also very often repeated in John. In various ways, Jesus, who is the light and the life, He keeps confronting man. And He keeps confronting us with either believing
or not believing.
And everyone who is hearing this right now, even through the recording, this has to do with our life now, but it also has to do with something that has to do with eternity. And let's see that in our last point. Our third point is we see the awesome eternal fulfillment of Jesus as life and light. Well, this teaching of life, it comes to a further fulfillment that is eternal, that is everlasting. We see it in the book of Revelation, which John, by the Holy Spirit, also wrote. And in Revelation, we read of this. Just think of this. We read of the book of life. We read of the water of life. We read of the tree of life. We read of the crown of life. All of those are fulfilled in Jesus because he was life. And again, that was is always was and always will be. So, since we earlier considered the tree of life and how man was kept from it in Genesis, well, in Revelation, Jesus says in Revelation 2:7, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. Isn't that glorious? I'll give to eat of the tree of life. In Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. You see, Jesus is able to give to eat of the tree of life because of our text. In him was life. And again, that life was the light of men. And the same is true about light. It's fulfilled for all eternity. In Revelation 21:23, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And when it talks about the glory of God, Lord willing, in the next sermon, we'll hear of Jesus as the very glory of God. But Revelation 21:24 says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, that is, the light of the Lamb. Revelation 22:5, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. So the glory of Jesus is that he came for men to give light in our darkness. He is the source of all light. He is the source of all life, both physical and spiritual. And he is that from eternity past into all history and today and into all eternity which is yet to come. In conclusion, in 1 John 2:8 it says, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. And the heart-searching question is, is that true light shining in you? Is that true light shining in you? And you know what, brothers and sisters? Jesus teaches us how we can tell. You don't have to go out of here saying, I think so, I hope so, I don't know so. You can know. Jesus tells us. He tells us what's the truth about you and me. In Matthew 6, in our reading, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what you value. If you just look for treasures on earth, you know, valuing what is now and here in the present and apart from Jesus, well, later on he says you're serving mammon. You are living for material, physical well-being alone. As long as you can pay the rent and pay the bills and have clothes and have it relatively good, maybe even better than good, and on and on and on, that's your value system. You don't see that here and now, and all those things that you have, that there's something eternal there. You don't see them as treasures in heaven. And when that's the case, Jesus said, then your eye is bad, and your whole body is full of darkness. And he said, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Think about that. If therefore the light that's in you is darkness, the light's in you, but it's not shining. It's not light then, is it? How great is that darkness? It's profound darkness. It's a serious warning. And may you hear it calling you to find light and to find life in Jesus. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Do you believe? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, loving and gracious Father, how we thank you for reminding us of our darkness and our death, and that you have put us in the light and the path of life that is leading to a life that is forever. May we rejoice in our salvation in Jesus. May we never forget the darkness, so that we will always rejoice in the light. O Lord, speak to us. Make each one here face the question, do you believe? And work in their hearts to make them willing and able to believe. You have told us to that you will use your Spirit and your Word, and we pray that you will do that for each one here. Each of us personally. May your word accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it forth to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.